attention, please. The next Metro train approaching your station will be a Metro Express train and will not stop.
Welcome to Voice of Scary Live. My name is Randy Scott. I am broadcasting to you at home live from the beautiful village of Cary, Illinois. This podcast was designed and started for you at home. This is your megaphone and this is your microphone. It is a venture of mine to try to bridge the gap between social media and talking with your neighbor. We used to live in a place to where we could, everybody waved to each other, and like when you're passing by in the car, and that's what I'm trying to tap into again. Seems like we've strayed away from it, and this is my venture to do that and to bring people together. We broadcast this transmission's going to X, Rumble, YouTube, all the usual suspects, and then you can also download the podcast on RSS feed. Wherever you may get your podcasts from, as they say, if you don't wish to see my face for radio and my Easter plaid shirt, I thank you for joining me today. I have what are we going to look at today? I came across this post on Cary and Fox River Grove, the younger years. It's a Facebook page. We're going to be taking a look at Veterans Park in Cary. That's a picture of the fountain and the park behind it. There was some pictures of the pond that made it online. And we're also going to take a look at this banner here. I'm going to tell you the story of this banner and take a look at some pictures of Route 14 way back in 2007. It is a banner that I acquired that was on the ground, forgotten about, and I saved it. And to anybody in public works that wishes to have it back, you may just contact me at voicescary@proton.me. But I wanted to save it, and it kind of shows how I'm like, I like to think that it shows how I'm long on Cary. And it kind of goes more than just me growing up here and me having that relationship with the schools and the streets and firefighting. And firefighting really transforms literally every single street in your hometown, for good and bad. But it also, I would say, more good than bad. Can I drive down without seeing some stuff that I've seen while firefighting? But that's the reason why I got into that profession, was because I wanted to see, like, life, what do you got for me? I want to see what you have for me so I can well equip my kids with the future of, you might come across this and how to handle it and mitigate it. And I left the fire department when I had my daughter, and now we have two kids, one on the way, and started a business to try to create more family time. And then in the process of starting that business, I found some things that needed correction, turned over some logs and saw behind the curtain a little bit. And for the longevity of my kids and their kids, here I am. What else are we going to look at? So the banner, and then the Cary sign, the old Cary sign. It's kind of hard to see that there, but it was the old wood one. The old wood sign there. And then we'll take a look at that. And then also the last few episodes that we've had going into last week, we were watching a budget meeting for the Village of Cary. We do live watch parties of village board meetings. And it's really just to bring it to a new platform. Let's face it, it's kind of dry material. It's not really, that's one of my goals, is to make it more, to make that veil and that barrier to entry into getting involved with your local decision making more seamless, to where we're all, it seems like right now, between some decisions that are being made with the vision of Carrie and the residents. Seems that like we're on different sheets of music right now, and I'd like for us to get on the same sheet of music. So this is a snapshot of the packet, and it deals with roadways and in their condition. This is from 2023, from their budget workshop presentation. This is from 25, so we'll be looking at that and seeing the trend there and seeing if everything kind of makes sense with how much time and resources they're allocating to projects and private partnerships, and doing all that footwork and dancing with all those projects, and see if the street outside in front of your house is seeing that same sort of attention, and maybe there's something we can do about that. So let me pull up. This is Carrie and Fox River Grove, the younger years. I actually just recently came across this in my research for the show. Excuse me, I'm just making sure that the audio is... I had an issue with audio yesterday, so apologize for that. I'm just checking the audio. And then Carrie Fox River Grove Chat, I came across this recently, and it seems like it's been in existence for a long time, and I'm surprised I haven't come across it, but here it is. And there was a post recently, today that I saw, of the Veterans Park. And these are the pictures that they posted. And there was some discussion about how the Park District and Cary Public Works is taking care of parks. And I kind of wanted to let you know what I saw here. I'll jump to this picture. This is a picture that you saw in the beginning. That's actually a Park District employee. That's in April 19. That is a... let me get my... If you look up here, you can go back and see later dates on Street View, and that's from 2019. And we'll be looking at more late Street Views from past years, going back to 2007. But that fountain there it looks like it has had quite a few coats of paint on it. There's some cool moldings in there that say Cary, Illinois, and it has two L's, the old abbreviation, first abbreviation. And I just wanted to break these pictures down for you of what I saw and some of my experiences, because I kind of had a front row seat to like the inner workings of you know, I wouldn't like Public Works. We would work together on some projects like safety for their water treatment plants, and you know, when a hydrant busted, we would have them come out, and then also starting a business, Public Works. Even before we opened, I put in a work order for a street light at the corner there, and like literally the next day they were out there doing it. So the Park District as well, they have quite a bit of land. They could have more land with the Rotary Park that we'll talk about later, but they have a golf course, they have a whole bunch of stuff, they have a preschool, and I think we're really blessed. I think we're I'd say, given the amount of attention and what I've seen, I'd say that our Park District surpasses Crystal Lakes. And from what I've seen, I don't know about land counts and land values, but just from the care and attention from it. And you might have different experiences, but that's from what I saw. And then also the other picture here, I'm seeing, you know, over winter, a lot of stuff happens over winter, and this was kind of the first day all the snow melted, so I'm not really concerned about that. But the dredging and the some of the other things that were mentioned, you know, I I have seen really good things from the Park District, so I want to say that. And then also, one thing that I can really say is the being in those organizations, you can only do as much as the person above you allows you to do. So there might be, like, for this instance, like at this corner here, we all know that's a hot corner. And they have, just with the past budget meeting, they reviewed like a plan. They have a plan to where they could acquire some of those properties and kind of adjust how that turns there. So it kind of is a they put attention to where it's like you saw it with Maplewood. You know, it's like going back 13 years with Maplewood. Well, we don't know what we're going to do with this property. We're still waiting on developers. We're still waiting on all these relationships to kind of come in line here. And you're kind of stuck in limbo. So, you know, why would they put in a whole bunch of effort into an area to where it might get tore up? And you saw that with Rotary Park as well. They put down gravel. I was like, why do they put gravel on all this? And I was thinking, like, that must be because they're planning on doing something. And sure enough, they're planning on doing the water tower project, which will raise water prices and waste water waste prices for you, but to facilitate those apartments out on 31. So that's kind of a, you can only do as much as a person above you allows you to do, and that glass ceiling is hard to overcome. But from what I've seen from the Park District and from the Public Works, they're out there, you know, doing it. And it's we have a lot of intelligent, strong people in the Village of Cary. And it's just about getting on that right sheet of music to where kind of prioritizing the street in front of your house again, instead of public-private partnerships that we were starting to see pop up. For instance, this here, that's a blank screen, hold on. This is Alfresco Alley, and this is from the presentation from the budget workshop. And when I say public-private partnerships, I'm not a huge fan of public-private partnerships, 3P, for the following reason. Like, if you look at this picture, like, these right here are kiosks, which will be selling drinks, which will be selling whatever out of there, which are under the banner of the Village of Cary. So now the Village of Cary is getting into alcohol sales and food service. And this right here is something called this land right here, they're leasing to somebody for $500 a month to have drinks. And right over here you have the Trax Bar and Grill. So imagine you're the owner of the Trax Bar and Grill, and literally the Village of Cary is setting up their own operation right there. I'm a big believer in, like, the invisible hand of commerce. Like, I've used the example of, like, even golf courses. The golf course, the mini golf course in Lippold Park in Crystal Lake, there, it's a competition from government against private. So, and some would say even preschool. I think they do good work there, but, you know, you're it's a slippery slope of, like, getting into private, and now your tax dollars are going to go against private business. So that's making it harder for our kids to start businesses and ourselves to start businesses. And then also getting back to the street in front of your house. Like, when you come into work at the Village of Cary, pretend you work at the Village of Cary. You're, let me run to this picture here. This is a snapshot of the 23, and the bottom is 25, the presentation for, this is showing roadways. So this is out in front of your house, pretty much. And the top, those top numbers on the right side of your screen are right here. These are what I want you to take a look at, because the other side's kind of hard to navigate. But in 2023, you've had 0.2% failed roads in the Village of Cary. And then fast forward to 2025, it's up to 1% failed roads. 2023, 1.6 had the serious designation. And then in 2025, 6% now have serious. And then going down, very poor, 9% in 23, and then 25, 14% for very poor. And then so on and so on. So how does that affect you? So when you work at the Village of Cary and you come in and you're tasked with, hey, let's try to facilitate some grant work and some permits and some other things to get some liquor licenses in downtown and start up, set up shop and have some kiosks and have three kiosks down there. And hey, while we're at it, let's at Rotary Park. Rotary Park is actually you're starting to look at the Village of Cary getting two park districts now, because the Village of Cary is buying equipment that the park district already has, just to kind of have a Torah, a Three Oaks recreation area of their own, like 2.0. And then that's all at the expense of your roadways in the front of your house. So it comes down to like time and resources that we could be taking a look at, to where we can better use them instead of maybe looking into apartments and growth. And that doesn't just happen overnight. That's actually, you can see there from 23, like that's multiple years of them being tasked with things that don't directly affect you and your services. And some would say, well, Randy, that's growth, and that's, that's how we're going to make, add to the coffers to get those roads better. But that's a great way of thinking. But my problem with that is, I've seen and researched why communities want to grow, why communities want to sign on to the cookie cutter carbon copy new design that we're seeing in every single town, especially along the tracks. And it has to do with growing and getting money coming in for it. It comes down to big banking, big banks, more investments, because our tax dollars don't just sit there. They are investments as well. And if you have a bank at the steering wheel and somebody with a clipboard, and if you just go with the whim, at the whim of these people with clipboards saying, you need to have this, this, and that, and not really pulling your audience of saying, well, this is what our community needs and this is what we're going to do, and you're just focused on making all these, checking all these boxes of the new cookie cutter of the century, you have your fun, and then at the byproduct of that is, when everybody gets out of Dodge, now you're left with this shell of what used to be a tight-knit community. And I'm all for bringing, having growth in the community. It's just, it seems like all this has come, like, has been coordinated to where all these projects are sitting on the tarmac waiting to take off. And it seems it just seems to that it needs to have some attention and to where your voices need to be heard again. Going back, let's go to the banner, huh? Let's talk about the banner. Man, that shirt. This is one of the first times I wore this shirt without my vest, and I look like an Easter bunny. Let's go. So at the budget meeting, they had designs, and I thought I had the other design pulled in, but they had different designs for the let me see if I can pull it in real quick. Actually, I'll go here and I'll show you these designs. Oh, that is it. Never mind. Excuse me, it's just cut off on my scene here, so let me adjust that. Okay, there we go. So at the budget meeting, this was a slide for the budget meeting that they had. It's downtown banners, 25-26 projected expense for $5,000 for these banners here. And, you know, they're nice. Not a huge fan of the circle logo. I liked our old wood logo with the farmland and the... this circle logo just... It seems like it's everywhere. Like, every community has it. It seems too corporate to me. It's very cold. And everybody's a critic, but that's my opinion. I think the overall quality of these are nice. I don't like usually the lifespan of these, like we'd be looking at these for quite some time, you know, 5-7 years. And I'm not really looking forward to having this kind of atmosphere of any town USA with the new cookie cutter mentality. I'm not looking forward to that. This is what we used to have. All up and down 14. This is in front of Walgreens here. This is in 2007. If you look up here, 2007. And pretty much along 14, you can still see the remnants of these. The brackets are still on there. We used to welcome people in our community with this, with the American flag, which to me symbolizes everybody's welcome, but it also symbolizes to me that, you know, there's a saying, like, if you're, that I'll share with my kids when they get old enough, but if you're ever lost, like, look for somebody with an American flag on their house. And, you know, that's not a, it's a saying that, you know, there's a certain amount of pride and ownership. And, you know, there's, to me, that flag represents whatever you believe in, whatever religion you are, whatever race you are. And it's welcoming. That's my interpretation of the flag. And I think having that coming into the community is powerful. And I think the branding effort of trying to go, and you know, those were nice designs, but I think you know, that's back in 2007. Let me show you the lifespan of these, of what I pulled up. So that's 2007. That's also 2007. Showing you on both sides of the streets, they have them. This is actually the one where this one came from. This poll right here. That's from 2007. And I was curious. I was like, you know, when did these disappear? So there's 2009. Google captured some kids having fun on bikes. There's a banner up there. This is 2012. And they're gone, and they're replaced with a whole bunch of communication equipment. There are still some down here. You can still see them a little bit. But this is the one that I found that was on the side of the road. It was down here. And I believe I parked here, and I got it. And I was going to return it. But then very shortly after, they were all gone, as you can see by this picture. So I was like, well, maybe I'll hold on to this. But there is an open invitation to anybody from Public Works that might want to retrieve that. Or we might, here, I'll share with you my idea after this. But all this telecommunication equipment, it's kind of ironic because we replaced it. This is, to my knowledge, here and here. This is a repeater for 5G, I believe. This is some handlers and stuff. But in no way, like, here's 2021. And in no way, shape, or form is this monitoring, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi and devices as they pass by. I just want to make that is not what these do. That would be this one. Devices like this. But it was kind of ironic that the American flag banner that I got was replaced with just equipment. And then every one of them in Cary was taken down, and it's been hard to find an American flag. I think they did them on the train tracks, like Metra. They did them. I don't know if that was a Village of Cary thing or if that was Metra doing that. But when you come into the Village of Cary, you know, seeing like literally flag banner. Instead of American flags, or, you know, that could be a discussion as well. That is powerful. I want to convey that when you come into our town, you're welcome. When you come into our town, an American flag also says to me, especially that many of them in a community, it says that we believe in law enforcement and we believe in them being able to do their job. Without having a police state, of course, but we have a strong police with a strong police response. We have a strong fire department with a strong fire response. And Public Works go down the row, but it goes to where it says they have the full backing of the municipality in which they work in. That's what that conveys to me. To where you are now in the Village of Cary. And it's kind of like a piece, it's like a strength thing to where it's something that I'd like to see come back. And with the banner behind me, I had an idea with it to where instead of doing the cookie cutter carbon copy every town USA design, we bring back the American flags. The one behind me would go up, and we have all of them that are about to go up, and we get people from the community sign them. Like everybody, like we have one for each subdivision or multiple for each subdivision, and that's either done at like a block party or something, and they come and they write on it, and something like that, to where, you know, taking steps to get back on the same sheet of music between municipality and the resident. I also pulled the carry sign. This is in October 2007. And then this is 2012. This is 2015. This is 2016. The sign is completely missing. And I remember when that happened, and I was like, I wonder if they're just waiting because they have a new design. But the sign is completely gone here. And the way it was missing, it looked like it had been like forcibly removed. And then, so that's 2021 of December of 21. And then this is October of 22. So a full year went by when we had no welcome to carry sign. And to me, that's mind-boggling. There's a subliminal aspect to that I believe in, to where like you drive home and it kind of shows, you know, a sense of pride. Like a full year went by when we had no Village of Cary sign, not even like a temporary one. And that comes back to allocating resources to the glass ceiling. So, okay, the Village of Cary sign is under the direction of Public Works. Now, I think if Public Works was tasked with, okay, this needs to get done, they're going to get it done yesterday. And that's what I've seen from the Public Works. Now, if there's a glass ceiling of don't pay attention to that, we got stuff cooking, then you can only do as much as the person above you allows you to do. And even if it was a temporary sign, and the ones that we have there now are, there was a donation for them, which I don't know. I've talked about this. If you're like with District 26, with the PTOs, the PTO raises so much money for District 26, and that's like hard-earned like volunteer fundraising money, and all that money went to playground infrastructure. And then, for instance, like that Village of Cary sign was sitting vacant for a year and either waiting for a donation, I don't know. But if you're relying on donations for critical infrastructure, like, and I read this, like critical infrastructure, and you're relying on donations, whether it's playground equipment or your welcome sign to your village, there's something wrong. There's something that needs attention to, and to get to kind of recalibrate of where we're spending time and resources. And then I also pulled our old train station. There it is on the right side. You could see all of downtown. And then when they changed it, they built it, and they took all the frontage away of downtown. And in commercial real estate, like frontage and having those folks, you know, if you want more downtown traffic, you want frontage. You want people to be able to see the happenings and what's going on as they drive by. And that new, it might have been to where they could have only put it. I think it works better for commuters on that side, but maybe, you know, it's just interesting to me that they took away all that frontage of the downtown since they're so hyper focused on the downtown succeeding. And then I also wanted to hop into the budget discussion here. Before I do that, if you've never, I enjoy, that's the whole reason for this show is to empower and to get you involved, to give you a resource and to, like, if you have a family or if you're elderly and can't go out, if you have zero time because everybody, you know, you're working, I try to make this resource to you to where you have a voice and you have somebody that might be like-minded to you to where you don't feel alone. I felt alone for a while in the ways and views of how I wanted to see the world turn out and my community turn out for the sake of my kids. And this is what I'm doing. You know, you can only talk about it so much before you start doing it. This is the Village of Cary code, this code costs $100,000 to put together. It's maintained by an outside service. It's over 800 pages long. The bumper cars on there symbolize, you have your village operations, you have public works, you have, you know, business, and everything's working, right? And with bumper cars, you usually have a metal top, and these scrape the metal top and get electricity, and they go through the motor and then go through the floor. And you don't get electrocuted because you can't touch the ceiling at the same time as the floor. But the reason why I have this analogy was I used to work at Six Flags, and I was like, that's a great, I'm a visual learner, but I also, I enjoy books, but I enjoy having visual. I enjoy like Mythbusters, the program, and he was a great, both those guys were great science communicators, especially Adam Savage. And that was something that I'm striving to strengthen in myself. So I was like, okay, when you go on a bumper car, you're worried about having fun and being with your kids and your family, and you're not paying attention to the sparks that are coming off. And that those sparks resemble lost energy that could be going through that motor, i.e. village services, i.e. Sidewalks, roads, and instead it's getting diverted to public-private partnerships, competing with our, you know, we have like four apartment complexes in the works. I think we've just might have gone a few miles down the wrong way at the last intersection, and I want to get us back to that intersection. Another thing, I know you guys enjoy hearing me talk about Six Flags this one time at Six Flags. No, I'd like to use all my past work history there's a reason why I had two ears and one mouth at some of these places. I've learned their strengths and their weaknesses, and I'm wanting to bring all that to the village instead of just going along to get along and checking off boxes of the going trends. So Six Flags is a corporation. They have parks all over the U.S. And, you know, the CEO of Six Flags, the prior one, had the vision of a national brand. And he forgot about the local of the park. he didn't realize that most of their traffic and their attendance came from a 100-mile radius. And he focused on making it a national brand, cookie cutter rides in all the parks. And you lost that sense of community. And I'll tell you what, the theme park community is very traditional. They believe in tradition, and they believe heavily in respecting the history of their park, is what I learned from when they worked there. And under that leadership, that CEO forgot about that. And when a new CEO came in, he said, this is not a national brand. It may be, but these are local parks to local people. And once that shift was made, they succeeded greatly after that, after taking care of getting what the park needed. Instead of just, you know, for instance, like, you know, you go to the trade show for roller coasters and you'll say like, yeah, I'll take 20 of those. And that's the same thing of like the Chicago mindset of where, or the world mindset to where, okay, now you need everything to be this. And you lose sight of your local park, your community. And that's what I want to bring back, is that local focus into not just doing what's on the clipboard of somebody that says your town needs to have this. The area needs to have more commuter adjacent housing. I'm worried about, I think about Cary, and it's important to think about your neighbors and your county, but it goes back to like the airplane mentality, to where, you know, you help yourself so you can help others. And right now it's not feasible with, you know, we're going to have all these high rises and apartments. And if they're all in a TIF, like you're going to have some strain on the school districts and park district. I think they'll be fine though. And then the roadways, like that, we saw the picture of the roadways, like where does that going trend end with, what we saw earlier, where does that, from 23 to 25, that's the local park mentality. That's the road in front of your house. And I believe that's what we lost sight of. But we're bringing it back. Yeah, with the high rises and the apartments. I think like Cary, like Crystal Lake, you know how many apartments are going in Crystal Lake, right? Like you drive down and there's a new, like they just approved a new project for more apartments. And here's the thing that I see potentially being an issue with that is you have so much inventory in Crystal Lake of new apartments, and then whatever Fox River Grove is going to do. And essentially, like I've lived that lifestyle of living in apartments, to where you're paying $3,000 a month for a two bedroom, and you have this, you know, modern looking workout place and yoga place, and it feels good. But then eventually, you that resort lifestyle is very, you're fatigued after a while. You become you start thinking that you're a number, and the amenities kind of just become mundane. And I don't want to see that for Cary. And then on the other side of it, of like the inventory issue, when the economy, like we're going through massive changes right now, like they're cleaning house at a federal level, and they're slowly making their way to start tinkering with the dollar. And when they do that and the economy get strong again, which, I mean, that's what we have to be helpful for. And that's what I always believe in. That's what during the pandemic, I was like, the sun's going to rise tomorrow and it's going to be amazing. So while everybody was closing, I was thinking about opening. Everybody's going to be wanting houses. Because that's ultimately, like, you don't go to you have a certain select amount of folks that want to go into an apartment, and that's their home, they're downsizing, and they want that. But then also you have families that are living there and they don't want to be living there, and I know how that is. And then where do you go if everybody's signed on to the same program of the 15-minute city mentality? Where do you go? You go to Cary, because they didn't sign on to that mentality. They didn't take the cookie cutters. They didn't take the carbon copy approach to everything. They were forward-looking. And I'm not saying we can never have I want to be that place to where, yeah, I'm living in Crystal Lake. Like, I can hear this conversation right now if the vision is right and it's acted upon. I'm living in Crystal Lake. It's great. $3,000 a month. But then maybe one day I'll get to move to Cary, where it's a community, strong park districts, strong police, strong fire. It's a place where I can raise my family and have some equity in a house, do some improvements to it, and you're backed by a community that doesn't have a veil between the village hall and its citizens. I can see that happening. Now, when the economy gets better, you're going to have a lot of inventory on the market of all these apartments. There's going to be mass vacancies of all these apartments. With how much inventory there is now, and it's growing all the time, if we put on 1,000 apartments into our community in the books, and then the economy gets better, everybody's moving out because they're going to houses. And we have no houses because we built apartments. You move out, and now you have all these vacancies in your community. Then what happens? Then the management company and the property owner says, hey, we need to compete. We need to get some people in here. We're lowering the prices. And then your pride in ownership goes down, not only in the person who's living there, but in the management company and the property ownership. So when that pride in ownership goes down, that love affair with commuter-adjacent housing goes out the window. But by that time, everybody's gone. They had their fun. It's not their concern. It's our concern, and it's my kids' concern. So we're going to get back on the same sheet of music, and that's what I'm here to do. Let me see if I have any text messages here or phone calls. I didn't hear it go off here. Nothing, but I'm, you know, the more that I do the same time slot, I might try to do it earlier in a few weeks, depending on how things go, to where I can come on earlier, like 10 o'clock. Or maybe do two shows, 10 and 9. Who knows? But I think the more consistent I do this, the more, and you know, if you were to call in, I would talk with you beforehand. You wouldn't have to give your name or your phone number or anything like that. And you know, it's just about talking. Great things happen when we talk with our neighbor, and we're all neighbors. So I enjoyed putting this together for you at home today. Thank you very much for joining me. You can email me at voicescary@proton.me. That's voicescary@proton.me. And I thoroughly enjoy this. So thank you very much for joining me. And I'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock for you. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
You're confirmed at T minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right, your toys.
Play nice.